Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we've got another great show broadcasting live from Maui. And we want to bring a little bit of the Hawaiian spirit on here and talk about some of the different things happening on the island. There's so many things happening right now, I don't even know where to start, basically, because since I've been here, it's been a whirlwind situation with all the sovereignty movements and the Shaka movement to ban the GMOs and just all the other spiritual happenings here, and Vortex is opening and everything else. But it should be an interesting show. Today on the guest, we have Uncle Ricky Torres, and he's a Hawaiian U.S. veteran. He's a surfer and a canoe builder in the traditional style. And we've got Ikolu Kalama, and he's a Hawaiian world champion stand-up paddleboarder and musician and songwriter. And both have been standing up in the fight for Hawaii sovereignty, you know, ending the occupation, the takeover of the islands. And EK has recently stood in U.S. court and denied any U.S. law support from their public defender, representing himself under Hawaiian law and standing and won. So anyway, Uncle Ricky also has been a long voice of the Hawaiian peoples occupy their own land. And there's a lot of information on that. If you want to check in, you can go to the shaka.org or, you know, just type in Maui and just see what's happening, because there's so much happening there. But with any further ado, I want to bring, I'm not sure who's on first. Is it Ikolu? Are you on first?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a little trouble with the speaker phone, so I guess we'll just use the regular phone.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much going on here. I'm curious as to, you know, get somebody's take who's been here on Hawaii and probably born and raised here, you know, to see, get, you know, your information on what you feel is happening on the island and what needs to happen here to bring, you know, to bring paradise back.
To clarify real quickly, when you're mentioning, I had some traffic issues, driving without a license and contempt of court. And I decided to defend myself with U.S. law, not Hawaiian law.
Okay.
So we're using our sovereign right to travel, which right now I'm creating some classes, a public speaking engagement, where we're going to be educating people on their sovereign right to travel. We're also creating our own license plates for our vehicles. So we'll be empowering people with the knowledge. They'll get a 14-page booklet, a 4-page script on how to interact with the police officers. And then also, if they end up getting ticketed, we'll have a motion to dismiss and get them out. But we just want to put the knowledge in people's hands, empower them so that they now exercise their faith and stand up for their rights. Because every day our human rights get taken away more and more and more. So we just want to take back our rights, and we're going to start with sovereign right to travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good start, you know, basically, because under any law, we have the right to travel. We just forgot, you know, and they create all these rules and regulations, which aren't actually laws. And people mistakenly, you know, give away their power and their divine rights and even the constitutional rights on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that one's working
that's
out.
That's on the horizon. Yeah, that all worked out. It got dismissed. We didn't use Hawaiian Kingdom law.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because in the write-up I have here, I think there's a lot of mistakes in it, and I can't even, it's hard to read because I can't even read the whole write-up that I was given. It's cut off.
Right.
Half of it's cut off.
Right.
So, got to wing it.
Well, that's the major dilemma with Hawaii, is jurisprudence. You know, in 1993, President Clinton apologized for the illegal overthrow, which happened in 1893.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, Hawaii being an occupied territory by the United States, it is their obligation to enact Hawaiian Kingdom law, not enact American law in Hawaii. And so by the laws, they are supposed to be operating within Article 2 military court, which it does not exist in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We have Article 1 and Article 3 courts here.
Yeah. So they're, according to, you know, well, in a lot of the American law, it's like they declared war on the citizens, and it's just a real mess. And it seems like Hawaii here, too, in that occupation, they must have had to almost declare war on you know, Hawaiian citizenry and to do that takeover, to do that illegal takeover.
Yes, well, they landed with guns and troops, and they had the cannons pointed at the palace. And so, yeah, it wasn't an act of war. They claimed they were protecting human lives and property, U.S. property.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, they ultimately had the Gatling gun.
And yeah.
The queen was forced to sign away. But she abdicated her authority under such a time that under investigation, she would be, you know, freed of what they were accusing her of. So that her kingdom is still here today. It's not about, oh, it's gonna come back. It's back, and we just need to exercise in that authority and educate people along the way, because there's people, and that's what the big issue is the misinformation and miseducation. So we got a big battle right now with the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, OHA, and they are a United States entity. So basically, the U.S. stole with the left hand, created this entity called OHA, which is supposed to be the voice for the Hawaiian people and help the Hawaiian people. But yes, they're really just giving everything back to themselves in the right hand.
Yeah.
And so right now, OHA is pushing for, you know, it started as the Akaka bill so that we can get federal recognition. And that's what everyone's talking about. Oh, Hawaiians, you guys should be just like the native Indians and get, you know, federal recognition. That way you could have your reservations and you guys can legalize gambling. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, no, we're not a part of the United States. And there's not going to be nation within a nation. We are our own nation. And America has to lead. That's independent.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough one. I know they're so entrenched with their military bases and everything else, and it's such a strategic location, supposedly, is what they say for the mainland. You know, that's going to be a tough one. You know, but I think if everybody rises up and actually stands firm on the law, they eventually they're going to have to honor the law, or they have no, just basically they have no jurisdiction. You know, once you really lay the laws out.
Right. But it's going through the whole court system. We got to fight here at the local level and then take it to the federal court level and then on to the international level. And yes, as defined by international law, what all of these elected officials right now are doing is committing treason.
Yeah.
Amber Crown being everybody and all the way down. Everyone's committing treason, and treason by law is punishable by death.
Uh-huh.
So these proxies and substitutes for the real Hawaiian kingdom, they need to wake up and realize that they're making serious, serious crimes against humanity, and they will be held accountable. They need to be held accountable. Otherwise, how can we teach our children to live porno, to be righteous, you know? If we got to be good crooks to be successful in life, you know? Because that's what we're learning right now. It's how crooked can you be? Because the most crooked people are the ones that are on the top making the most money and in control of shipping, in control of manufacturing, in control of everything. Mm-hmm. You know? So I understand what it means to have a lot of money in this society and be successful monetary-wise. It's a lot of sweat off of other people's back. You're making a lot of money off of other people's energy or natural resources. But somewhere you're exploiting the system, you know?
Yeah. And I was wondering, being here on the island and just looking around, and we were actually having a conversation about that today with one of the locals. And I just go, you know, how can somebody come to this island and bring all these toxins and poisons, you know, and the 50 different chemicals, you know, that they used in the cane fields and all these other things that they did? You know, I'm sure they're doing fine before all these big companies came in. But to me, I just say, how can anybody come here, you know, and see the beautiful blue oceans, you know, and the jungles and just the, you know, the extreme beauty here and just totally poison it, you know, the land, the people, the fish, everything. To me, it's just beyond comprehension is what kind of a person could actually do this and be okay with it.
Right. Well, someone that's obviously have lost their culture and lost their genealogy, lost who they are, their story, you know. So they end up borrowing somebody else's story, you know.
Luckily, I got to feed my family, so, you know, I'm going to go work for Monsanto, you know, or things like that. And, you know, and actually, you know, it's like that story of the fisherman, you know, and the guy tells him, hey, you know, you could get 3 or 4 boats and you can make all this money and retire, you know. And the guy does. He buys all these boats. He makes a huge amount of money and he retires so he can go fishing, you know. He was already fishing. He already had everything. He didn't have to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and here, yeah, you got the fish, you got the fruit, you got everything going here. You know, you don't have to really do much of anything, but in the old days, I'm sure it was much easier, but now, you know, it's not that available.
I don't know what's going on. I have all kinds of echoes in here. I gotta walk outside.
Yeah. Maybe we can bring Ricky on, Uncle Ricky, and see what.
Maybe. Yeah, he's on the other line right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you sound good there. You kind of faded off into nowhere. Uncle Ricky, are you with us?
No, Uncle Ricky's on the other line right now.
Oh, is he?
He's on his phone right now.
Oh, he's but, on his
we were,
phone.
We were saying about, what were we talking about? Oh, the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, the current system, we're about trying to change the educational system, first and foremost. And we believe that our children are at a disadvantage if you don't teach them the true history. You know, it gives them a false sense of reality. And so what we're trying to do is get back to our culture, the Hawaiian culture. It was a success of the community. Now, the current system is, you go to school, get good grades, and get a good job. You know, it's all about the individual and what you can do personally and how you can be successful. It doesn't teach how you can help your community. It doesn't teach how a community works together and have mutual success. So that's the culture that we're bringing back. We're going to build community.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing the same thing in Washington. It's quite interesting. You know, we have this beautiful 70-acre ranch and living very close to the land, a very spiritual life. You know, everybody's working together, having a great time. And boy, county just can't stand it. You know, and they're doing all they can to shut the place down. And they won't give it up. And, you know, to the point of actually committing extreme crimes, you know, on their end. They want to close the door so bad. It's such a threat to them, you know, and all we're doing is just, you know, we're pretty sovereign there. You know, we're just working off the land, close to land, practicing our basic rights, you know, of you know, free speech, right to assembly, right to practice our spiritual beliefs, you know, right to privacy, things like that. You know, apparently in their world, they believe we don't have any of those rights. You know, they got a position and a little badge and you know, they got a, and so now they think they have, you know, full domination, you know, rights, which is, it seems like the further you go up the power and wealth chain, it just gets uglier and uglier with people that have just have lost, you know, all concept of what it means to, you know, work together as you know, in brother, sisterly love, or work together as a team.
Yeah. Aguriki's here. He wants to say a word.
Sure. Yes.
Can hear.
Hello. Aloha. Welcome.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, mahalo for having us on this radio show.
Oh, thanks for coming on. You know, I wanted to kind of get a foundation for, you know, what's happening here in Hawaii, you know, and how people can help and how people can, you know, shift in consciousness and you know, kind of take a look at where we took a wrong turn and how we can get back, you know, back to the Aloha spirit and back to living a more spiritual life.
You're also a very spiritual man, and we people who are from Hawaii, we know how spiritual this place is. We were born with it in us, you know. One of the meanings for Hawaii, and we always would refer to it. My kupunas would teach me that Hawaii was known as is known and is the second heaven. So I see not only you know, the Hawaiians, but mankind has lost its connection to the spiritual world. You know, everything is material, and you know, ever since, even prior to the belligerent occupation by the United States of America over the lawful. What the government that was here, the Kingdom Nation of Hawaii, slowly, just it's a sickness, and you know it's called Stockholm Syndrome, and us Kanakas and human beings, we're all conditioned to just everything is material, and Hawaii is a place of mana, and as we used to say, you come here, this thing's life money no can buy. And, you know, that's the air we breathe, the food that we know we have on land and in the ocean. And slowly, in my lifetime, I'm now 58 years old, I've seen the blatant destruction and rape of everything that has been going on for many, many years. And, you know, even before the so-called white man came, as many other immigrants that came, and the Tahitians came, Maoris came, Tongans came, you know, and it goes on and on, but the force to solve the problems right today.
It seems like they've gone past the point of no return, is that, you know, there's no option now. We have to go back to the old ways and restore the island, you know, and
we have the race here in Hawaii. You know, we have the Hawaiian culture, the Kanaka Maoli culture has, in its ancient laws, ways to keep mankind in harmony with nature and the spiritual realm. All three of them work together. All those realms were brought together and discussed and worked over and prayed and pulled. And, you know, I mean, we all know that the power of prayer, and that's what we're going through now as humans. You know, we got to stop all these wars, and we have one of the most warring government and nation that is belligerent, occupying our Hawaiian kingdom. You know, they need to pack up their guns and go home and come back and get their visas like any other. When you walk into another country, you need your visas, you need your, you know, you need to behave. And they need to give us back the chance and the right to restore our kingdom. You know, we are people of Aloha, and people, we speak, and the work we do is God's work. We have nothing to fear. They can come to our house and point their guns and do everything and try and make us, you know, terrorists. But America is now one of the biggest terrorists on this planet, our home Mother Earth, eh? You know?
Yeah.
You know, you and I are people, we're surrounded by our ancestors. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have nothing to fear. That's why we're here. You know, and it's just so refreshing to see the young warriors and Wahinis and Kanis like Ikolo and Ikolo's wife, just aware, and people like, you know, they come here daily seeking our mana and our healing. And we're healing ourselves as Kanaka Maolis from Stockholm Syndrome, you know, Americanization, genocide. We can go on and on, but we're in a very spiritual time on this planet, and Hawaii is the center of mm-hmm. their spirituality.
Now, it seems like Maui, from what I understand, having been on the other islands, I love the other islands too, but I'm always drawn back to Maui just because I feel energetically the Aloha spirit has been very much maintained here on a much, much more prevalent level than some of the other islands. And it seems to be, as many say, the heart chakra, you know, of the entire planet.
I hear where you're coming from. I hear what you're saying. But for me, on every island, I find these places we call heiaus and places for us to go and pray and puli. You know, the missionaries came here and destroyed almost 95% of our heiaus. And what's left and what they rebuild, they make tourist traps out of. So many of us, you know, we're in deep prayer all the time. If we're playing in the ocean, surfing, we're in deep prayer. We're walking around picking up opala or cigarette butts. You know, we're in deep prayer. And, uh-huh. and we need to. And again, you know, we have to thank the realm that we're in now, this consciousness of people. It's happening all over the world. There's people like you and I and speaking like this in every community, every country, every home. You know, there's people that are aware and seeing what's going on. It's we're in a beautiful time. You know? And for us, we're lucky we live in Hawaii. We're lucky we're here.
Yeah, there is a huge, you know, I like the Mayans call it the ninth wave of unity consciousness that is exponentially getting stronger and stronger. And every tradition talks about a shift or a time, you know, coming. I'm wondering if they're in the Hawaiian tradition, do they talk about, you know, the times that we're moving into or have stories about these times?
Yes, there's many chants and stories, and you know our true beliefs of where we come from is the Kumulipo. That can explain to you where we're from, where we're at, and where we're going. But we also have to be the voices and the older voices of the awareness of what we. Which for me personally, my lifetime, what I've seen, and I remember my grandfather telling me, "Whoa, you know, he's seen the slowly what's happening." And he's always used to make us aware as we were riding horses or walking around or. You know, my father fishing on. Look at the colors of the reefs and see how it's changing. And look at the smell of the air and the direction of the winds. It's all in the Kanaka Maoli culture, in our way of life. But it's been sad to say. It's been so or sad, but I can also be glad now. You know, to see missionaries did a lot of harm here, and you know.
Yeah.
They need to, you know, recheck themselves and step back into their church and re-pray. You know, always we talk about, you know, America, the land of the free. Well, if you're going to be the land of the free, you got to start freeing, you know, let's not talk about it. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's sad because a lot of the work that I do when I go to a place, like an old church or something like that, even here on the island, I can feel all the oppression, everything that's been there. And how they've just totally taken the culture and trashed it and used force.
In the history of Hawaii, when my ancestors would do that, they had a place in Oahu called Akaneohe Hospital. It's a mental ward. They'd label people crazy and put people in there for just talking to nature, talking to the wind, singing to the, you know, the owls and flying with the... You know, with the hawks, they condemned my ancestors and, you know, called them crazy and mental. That's another place. If you went there and walked around, brother, you're going to feel them, our ancestors and what. That's why we do what we're doing. We got to cure all that and heal all that.
Yeah.
We don't judge people by the color of their skin. We got to judge them by how greedy they are and what they've done to our planet and our way of life. You know, thank you. Our consciousness is, and a lot of young people are on the same page as us. And, you know, I've seen a lot of my elders pass sad, mad, but they'd always forgive And, you know, they were always telling me, oh, boy, carry on. Your kuleana is to help and tell everybody that our kingdom of Hawaii, we can heal the world, the culture. There's an old law called ti'ikapu. It means to live in harmony with each other, nature, and the spiritual realm. It's a very, very beautiful, powerful law that my Tawaiians had and lived with in harmony with each other.
Yeah, I know it's part of the culture to always make peace, you know, with your neighbor. And there's so many different ways. It just seems like now the old guard or the old grid, you might say, the consciousness grid, you know, that was heavily enforced by those who were totally greedy, created this huge separation game going on. And everything's external. You know, everything external, your love, your acceptance, your approval, your social status, everything is all based on power and wealth and external acquisition and things like that. And they totally lost the way. And I kind of see that whole grid or that whole network is about ready to just completely crumble. And when that happens, people are going to need another way, something to take its place.
And today, you know, it's been going on now for, you know, we have to deal with agencies like OHA, you know. They're just being used by the American government to form, you know, a big divide and conquer mentality in the Hawaiian, in the Kanaka Maoli, you know, community and on every island. And, you know, many people are, you know, and they know that the Hawaiian kingdom is still alive. We're here. We don't have to change any laws. We don't have to create new governments. It's in existence. It was stolen 120 years ago, and there's still Kanakas with the bloodline, like Ikolo, and many others that are the future of these islands. And that's what Ikolo and I and many others. That's the platform we stand on. That's our voice. Yeah, you're going to start meeting more and more of the. I call them the Dalis, the Moris, and they, you know, they watch, they listen, and we, you know, there's Kupuna councils, there's people even older than I, that, you know, they set the law, and they set the way, and they set the direction. It's been here, it's never been taken away. And that's what give us America, give us that freedom to do that, and we're gonna heal the military, American militaries, you know, that they're destroying their own American citizens. You know, I went to Vietnam. I was a missionary. I was a mercenary in Vietnam for America. And they're still creating mercenaries. They're walking all around here. I can feel them. I can see them. You know? And what's happening now, I came back from Vietnam pretty twisted. And I healed myself. It's still healing myself. And I see now, today, what these young people coming back from the wars of Afghanistan and Iran, more and more killing each other daily than in actual combat. And those foreign countries that your government sends them to, you know, the American government sends them to.
Yeah, the suicide rate's off the charts. I mean, it's insane. You know, the people they come back and they've been traumatized and they've been, you know, filled with all these crazy chemicals and experimented on and everything else. And a lot of them are put on timers. You know, they're not going to live a long, healthy life because of all the things that they've been subjected to, you know, all the shots and the depleted uranium and all the other things. They're coming back just completely screwed up.
I was once that young man that came back with that look in the eye and, you know, just when you lost all the careness that war takes away that sensitive part of a human being. You know, you get brainwashed to go kill somebody that never did anything to you, but the governments did it, and they don't send their kids to war, but they send everybody else's. But, you know, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And, you know, I live with that every day. That's my motto, you know. There's a lot of injustice going on in Hawaii, and my duty is to resist every way I can that injustice that America has brought here. Any way I can, except I don't use a gun anymore. I did that in Vietnam, so I'm a peaceful old warrior. I want to surf, chase beautiful hyenas, take deep breaths, swim all over, sail, enjoy life, you know? Yeah.
It's tricky. Yeah, it's very tricky not to become like them. I always wonder about that.
Yeah,
with all the military people, the trained snipers out there and everything that they've just sold out, you know, and sold them down the river to die, you know. It'd be nice for those guys to wake up and heal and everything else. But I'm wondering, eventually all these people are going to figure out what was done to them and who did it. And I think there's going to be a big, you know, karmic backlash on that. Not that I want to promote war or anything, but that does seem to be, you know, what may be in store in the future.
Yes, it's maybe my hope it doesn't get too worse before it gets better. But for people like me, you know, I lost my fear in Vietnam, so guns don't scare me. But and we're doing God's work, you know, we're doing work for the Great Spirit. We're not just saving our own kingdom, Hawaii, in God's way, but we're also helping to save Mother Earth, you know, Papa.
Exactly. I've always felt that. I know when I went to the Shaka movement, you know, the big GMO meeting, I was blown away at the whole place was filled. The whole theater was filled. And then they brought a screen outside because everybody was standing outside. They didn't have enough seats for it. And
I saw you there. It was beautiful. I saw you there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the island spirit, you know, just like everybody's coming out going, yeah, we're done with all the poisons and the toxins and everything else. We want to get this stuff out of here and standing up against Monsanto and everything. And when I saw that, I go, oh my God, finally, you know, here's an island where people are waking up or are awake and they're actually banding together to do something, you know, to deal with these guys who are just, you know, they're basically psychopaths. There's no other word for it. That what they're doing is so clear. It's
genocide.
They're
the terrorists, aren't they? They're the terrorists. You know. So we're winning. You know, we're doing God's work. We're winning. I know we are. I can feel it. I can see the changes. And awareness in a lot of people, especially young people. I see, you know.
Yeah. I've got about three or four people here just where I'm living right now all have petitions, you know, and they're going out and getting everything signed to put a moratorium on the GMOs and so everywhere I go, somebody's standing there outside a store or something, you know, getting petitions. Right. So there's a big movement here.
Good. Yeah, I've seen it just growing. As far as Hawaiian Kingdom Nationals, we don't sign it because, you know, we have to vote, and we have to vote in the American system. And for many of us, that system has been polluting this island. You know, for us, GMO is not new. We've seen the effects of the sugarcane fields and the pineapple fields, and all the fertilizers, and you know, growing up with different chemicals. As little kids, we were using kerosene stoves, and we wondered why, you know, get headaches when you go in grandma's little kitchen. You know.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But GMO is now, you know, it's, in one way, it's helping to bring the consciousness of more and more people of what's really happening. Mm-hmm. And on this little island, and the little islands we live on, it just shows what's happening to the whole planet. This is a really good place to see the effects of, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the voting thing, because the same thing, you know, I told them, they said, well, you have to be a registered citizen here in Maui. And you have to vote, you know, to be able to sign that petition. And I just said, well, as soon as you agree to vote, you just agreed, you acquiesce to their program and their, you know, their leadership over you and or control over you. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. Like, there's all these contracts that are being made, you know, even driver's licenses, everything, where
everything.
People are totally agreeing to give up all their rights, you know, through contract.
Yep. Yeah, so many of us haven't signed it, but we're 100% behind, you know, getting rid of GMO. And for us, the bottom line is we have the right to restore our nation. And when that international law is in the rights of nations, goodbye GMO, goodbye United States military, you know, and aloha Americans, but goodbye American military. You know, they're all over the world just causing havoc, as we say in Hawaii, and they're the big problem.
Yeah, they're basically the brute squad for the corporations, and
yeah, they are.
Yeah, there's never been a holy war. It's always been one king wanting what another king has or leader.
Greed, huh? We have a common enemy called greed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people are, a lot of people, even in the military, are waking up to the realizing, like, hey, wait a second,
yes,
you know,
yes,
why am I killing these people, you know?
Yes, I know many, you know, Vietnam vets and even people who put in 20 years in the United States military are going, what, you know, what, what's going on, you know? So maybe, and there's some officers in the military right now asking the same questions, you know? I think it's time. I hope I see it in my lifetime, or maybe this summer is going to get hotter and hotter. You know, good all in-house revolution. You know
that's I'm seeing the same thing. I'm seeing from now on, things are going to get really hot and keep escalating.
And
there's probably going to be an Arab Spring. You know, who knows? It may even start here. You know, but it's definitely I see it everywhere.
Well, you know why, and I've been saying for years, welcome to the Aloha Revolution. We don't carry guns. We don't make bombs. We don't have weapons of mass destruction. Our weapons of choice is a computer and massive amounts of aloha. Welcome to the Aloha Revolution. Our heroes, Gandhi, Queen Liliuokalani, Lono, and many others, you know, like Martin Luther King, Mandela, you know, and just this is what we do in Hawaii, you know. And I've always been an advocate and against picking up a gun. Our last reigning queen, Liliuokalani, was very, 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 very strong in her voice about keeping it peaceful. And that's why I'm surrounded by my ancestors wherever I go. She's one of my, you know, my most pono in my prayers. She talks to us all the time. She even wrote it down. I love it. Her books are beautiful.
A question that keeps coming up, and I've noticed, you know, in dealing with different people within the movement of, of restoring, you know, the Hawaiian nation, there seems to be so many claims, so many different people claiming to be of the right lineage, to be the true king. And I'm always wondering, it just seems like the movement really needs to go back to some kind of a republic where everybody is in charge of their own destiny, and that's, you know, and that's what kings are for, or leaders are for, is to ensure that, you know, the highest and best good of the people and the island and the land.
Right. You know, there is people with the cocoa go way back. They have the bloodline, and you know, some of them have to be quiet because they would be a target for the United States military. So we know who they are, and you know, I believe that, you know, all the seats of the government that was once alive and well that have to go underground because of the belligerent occupation that started 121 years ago. I believe that the throne should be filled and the House of Nobles will come up and the representatives. These are the three levels of government, you know, government bodies that ran the Hawaiian Kingdom. And it started from the voices of the Makalai Nana. Those are pretty much, Ali took care of his people and the people took care of their Ali. It wasn't like the kind of king and queens of Europe where the top controlled everything all the way to the bottom. And Hawaii was a very unique, that's why it's called Aloha. It was very unique. They listened to the Makai Nana. The Makai Nana were the fishermen, the house builders, the canoe builders, the farmers, the fishermen. And that's the true spirit of Hawaii. That's why we're blessed. We live here, one of the most beautiful, and you know, you're in that realm. You see things that other people don't see. And you know, I repeat, a lot of my ancestors were put in crazy houses and mental wards and tied up in straight jackets. And the stories go on and on and on here. You know, we might not have had latent massacres like our Native American brothers and other, like the Africans or the Aborigines in Australia, but it happened here. You know, when I came back from Vietnam, a lot of my aunties and uncles opened up to me even more. And for what I'm saying now, man, they would find connectors hung on trees. You know, and I remember the first time speaking publicly in front of 80 to, you know, sometimes 60, sometimes 130 Hawaiians gathered in one building. And me and a couple of my other brothers would be talking like this, and the kupunas in the front around would go, shh, 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 boy, no, can't talk like that. You're going to get into trouble. They're going to put you in jail. And we'd go, no. We'd be speaking the truth, you know. Don't worry. And then many of them who told us not to before they passed would say, thank you, boys. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Now I can pass and go sleep happy, you know, knowing that you guys are carrying on what we got even blatantly oppressed by what they tried to do, you know?
Yeah.
We have a history here of what happened all over the world. And here we are, Minnie Cole and many others, other voices and faces of what, you know, my ancestors, our ancestors have given us. It's called Tu Itaha, preserve the breath, and our breath is for righteousness, life, and the law. Again, you know, the Hawaiian culture can heal the world how to behave.
Yeah.
How to heal each other.
It seems like even, like I notice in the Native American cultures, I work a lot with the elders there, and they do a lot of ceremony at the ranch. And even they're kind of divided. A lot of them are really divided about bringing out the prophecies, bringing out the way, you know, that they live and how we need to get back. And some are saying the same thing. No, we can't share that. And you got to keep quiet. You know, you're going to get in trouble and things of that nature. And they're just coming out and doing it anyway. And they're saying, no, it's time, you know. And they also have a kind of a prophecy. I know a lot of the Lakota prophecies and other ones that the power needs to go back to the divine feminine. There needs to be a shift. And, you know, and I've always felt if you really want to clean up the planet, you know, put some wise grandmothers in charge, you know, they'll straighten it out very quick, you know?
Yeah, in any house, you know, who runs the kitchen, who's the backbone, and all my involvement with different freedom fighters and meetings and groups, and the women have always been the backbone.
About women, they don't send their kids off to war. You know, they understand family. You know, they understand the grief of losing somebody in the family or losing relatives and things like that. And I think that's why the feminine has been so diminished, you know, and pushed into the back. I think that energy needs to step forward now and be fully supported.
Yep, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mother's mother.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we call Mother Earth, you know, Papa. In Hawaiian, it sounds like man, but it's the deep roots of Mama. Mother Earth is Papa.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's we need to get back to that.
It's a balance. It's a balance. Yes. Well, thank you for letting me just, you know, kuka talk. I know I felt you when I first met you. You've got the spirit of a healer. And thank you for letting me express myself.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming on and kind of being a voice for Hawaii and what's happening here, because a lot of people just don't understand this.
Yeah, there's many more you can meet, you know, older than me and even younger than me. And, you know, for me, I was born and raised in a big island. There's some beautiful places that the spirit connects. And maybe someday we can go together. I'll share with you. So a lot of us don't like to share because they make tourist traps or people put a price on it and start teaching it. And, you know, it kind of blows, you know, the school that I was brought up with. We have to be very careful of that. You know?
So, yeah, I've seen that quite a bit.
That's the other part. But mahalo, Jim. Look forward to talking to you again next time. Maka to maka, aye to aye.
Yeah, I'll see you out in the ocean or somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You want to speak to Ikolo again? Here he is. He's a warrior for tomorrow. There's many more you're going to meet.
Yeah, mahalo. Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Mahalo. Hello, James.
Aloha. Hey, we've got about another, maybe not too much longer. We only have about 5 or 6 minutes left. But is there anything else you wanted to you know, speak to the audience about? And I know you're working on some restoring the fish ponds and some other things. Is there any way that people could help you out in those projects?
Yeah, well, I'm still getting the website built right now, and I'm planning to launch it next week. Maybe you can invite me back another time. We can talk about EK Academy.
Yeah. Or once the website's up, you know, put a little PayPal button on there or something, and I'm sure I can shoot it out over our email list and let people know, you know, what's happening there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, we're all kinds of things with the, you know, we were going to begin the reconciliation process. In 1993, President Clinton gave us the authority. I mean, he said it in public law 103-150, that the Hawaiians have a right for self-determination, and they can have a nation of their own choosing. So the reconciliation process is getting back to stolen land. And right now, I have some family members with royal patent given in the Great Mahele, 1848. During the, that was when Kamehameha III divided the land. He protected the title, and we have the original paperwork. So now we're just using law, again, American law, and exercising our rights.
So yeah.
It should be exciting. We're getting land back, the new education, the fish pond, all kinds of cool projects coming out. I got a one-year provisional patent for Hawaiian speak and spell. I'm going to have a phone app and a speak and spell. We're going to be educating the kids in Hawaiian language and bringing back the original dialect with the T's and the R's. Pre-missionary contact.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Yeah, I think that's definitely a must, you know. Got to get back to the old ways. The old ways worked, you know. It's like,
right.
I don't know why they wanted to change them other than, as we all know, it was pure greed and control over others. But
right,
be nice.
They have a track record. Yeah, they have a track record since they've been here. Our people have gone downhill.
Yeah,
we haven't been doing better. We
have, and really, that's their mandate. Really, is to protect and serve. You know, and where's the protection and where's the service? You know, it's like you got to go, wait a minute. You know, even the military, that's their mandate, you know, so they're if they're not a beneficial force, then they need to start, you know, rethinking that whole program.
Right. Yeah. Well, spiritual realm will have its final say.
Yeah. Hey, well, keep up the great work. And if there's anything more I can do to help you, I know you got some albums that you're putting out and things like that. Are you going to have those on a website too?
Yes. All the music will be on there.
Okay, great. Yeah, so as soon as you get that up, that website up, just shoot it to me, and I'll send it out over my link. You know, anything I can do to help support the movement.
Okay. Yeah, we should have it launched next week, so expect an email from me next week.
Okay, great.
This coming week.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right, take
care. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, aloha.
All right, aloha.
All right, we just got a couple of minutes left. This is we're gonna have to be signing off here, but this the island here is just incredible. I've been trying to get into the water and swimming, you know, every day, but it seems to be like every other day at the most because of all the healing work and the other works we've been doing here. But it is just so rejuvenating to get into the water and, you know, get your feet on the sand and be in the nice sunshine here and try to eat, you know, a lot of the local fruits, things like that. It's really, you know, the way to live, you know, the way that we could all live. We could all restore Eden and you know, it just starts with us all unifying together and deciding, you know, the world we want to live in, and then standing tall, you know, standing in our own divinity and our own divine rights and making it happen. The people that have been in charge, the powers that were, there's just a small group. You know, there's only 13 families that are running the show, and look at where they've taken us. So it's time for the individual and the collective to come together and just say, hey, wait a second. You know, this isn't what I signed up for. You know, I came to experience Eden and help restore Eden and bring heaven to earth, not to participate in the wars and the destruction and the pollution and all the other things. And realize, you know, the sacred circle of life and what goes around comes around. So whatever we do to others or whatever we do to the earth, the air, the water is going to come back. And it is coming back, and we're seeing the consequences of that. So, you know, we need to rethink this when we look at the depleted uranium and the chemtrails and all these things that are going on. We think it's happening to somebody else or somebody far away. Even the wars, you know, that's all somebody far away. There is no far away in unity consciousness. We're all connected. You know, we're all one, and whatever is done to one is done to the all. And we need to get back into that mindset or that consciousness that, you know, basically, You know, there's one unified field, and we're all exist within that unified field, and it's the creator within all creation. And all the division games and the separation games and everything else just keep you stuck on the wheel of reincarnation. So if you want to get off this rock and get into the higher dimensions, we need to get back into unity consciousness and transcend all religious, all culture beliefs, all separations and divisions. And that is really where all cultures and all religions should take us. They should take us back into the oneness. And some have preserved that teaching, that oneness, you know, the law of one, whatever you want to call it. You know, the original Mu or Lemurian teachings, where the unseen creator was seen in all creation, everyone and everything. And that's really where we need to get back to. So anyway, hope everybody's doing their part out there. It's time to stand up and, you know, make your voice be heard. And, you know, step out of this old program, let this old grid fall and start creating a new world, you know, a new grid. And we can do that through consciousness, through energy, and through our own physical participation. And we need to do it on every level. But anyway, it looks like we've hit the end of the hour here, folks. So this is James Gilliland signing off. Have a great evening. And keep that aloha spirit and the aloha revolution going. Have a great evening. Good night.